Morning. Let's turn to Matthew 18. If you haven't heard yet, Pastor Sam Lisa has given birth to Hannah Song on Sunday. And he won't be able to make it today. I don't know if he'll be able to make it tomorrow either. We'll see. But Matthew 18, verse 1 through 4. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. I pray that you will speak to us this morning. We just thank you that we can spend this morning with you in prayer and in fellowship with you. So Holy Spirit, come speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So just to give you a little bit of context, right before this chapter, right before chapter 18, in the beginning of chapter 17, you have the transfiguration where Jesus takes Peter, John and James up on the mountain. And so the three disciples, they get to see this fantastic thing that happens to Jesus, right? And then when they come down from the mountain, you see the other disciples, they're trying to cast out a demon, but they can't do it. So I can kind of see how this conversation about who is the greatest in the kingdom of God comes about. You know, like these three guys come down from this mountaintop experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they see these little, like, not the little disciples, but the other disciples that didn't make it to the mountain. And they're struggling to cast out a demon. So obviously, when they come down and they're together, they start talking about, well, I think I'm the greatest, you know. I mean, I went up to the mountain with Jesus, and I got to see this great vision. And then you probably are not the greatest because you couldn't even cast out a demon. You know, you could see this kind of conversation going on. And so they come to this point, and then they come to Jesus and say, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But really what's going on in their heart is, do you think that I am the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because you see Jesus kind of diverting the question and just saying, hey, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven unless you humble yourself as this child. But I kind of want to start off with the question to you. Out of the apostles, who would you say is the greatest? You know, out of the 12 apostles plus the seven, I think, the new deacons that they set up, and Paul included, I mean, who would you say is the greatest apostle? My immediate response was Peter. I thought Peter is probably the greatest, you know. He was the leader type, always outspoken, you know, he really led the church. And then there is obviously Paul, who wrote like half the New Testament. Or it could be John, you know, he was the disciple that Jesus loved. But what's interesting, I think, is when we ask ourselves this question, we also tend to measure people's greatness, you know? Like, what do we use as our measure of measuring people's greatness? You know, do we say, oh, Pastor Sam, he's got to be the greatest out of all the SP people because he's the pastor. You know, he's, you know, whatever. You know, I find that I do this all the time, that I'm always measuring people's greatness. I'm thinking, well, this guy, he's probably, like, Chuck Pierce comes. I'm like, oh, he's got to be way up there, you know, in the kingdom of heaven. And then ultimately the question comes down to, well, where do I fit in this measure of greatness, in this race to being the greatest? You know, where do I fit in? And I don't know about you, but for me, I think we're all like this. We're very performance-oriented and very competitive. And we wouldn't ask this out loud, but in our hearts, we're probably all asking the Lord Jesus, hey, how great am I? You know, which am I? I know I'm not the greatest, but surely I'm greater than this guy sitting next to me at church. You know, like, I think we're always kind of Not out loud, but in our hearts, we're asking that question. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? How do I measure up in this race to being the greatest? You know, usually it's success rate, or if our house church leaders, how many house church members do we have, or whatever. You know, we're always kind of measuring ourselves. But going back to what the disciples were asking, you know, they say, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I feel like the disciples probably were asking, you know, maybe they were thinking, you know, surely Moses would be the greatest. You know, he led the Israelites out of Egypt. Others were probably thinking, no, surely Abraham, he's the father of our faith. You know, Abraham's the greatest. Maybe some were thinking King David. You know, King David has to be the greatest. He wrote the whole book of Psalms. And they're thinking all these things, but Jesus comes with such an unexpected answer, right? Because you would expect, I mean, the disciples asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What you would expect is Jesus going, well, Moses is the greatest, or well, Abraham is the greatest, or whoever is the greatest. That's what they're expecting from Jesus. And Jesus comes out with this totally unexpected answer. Instead of giving them a straight up answer, he takes a child, and he sets the child in front of them, and then he says, unless you're converted like this child and humble yourself, you're not even going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, whoever then humbles himself will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's interesting because we're always thinking, well, it's got to be one person that's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But his answer is whoever, anybody, if you humble yourself like this child, you will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But I think what Jesus is doing, he's getting to the core of their question and saying, hey, forget about it. Don't even ask yourself this question of who's the greatest, comparing yourself and doing all this whole race to get to the greatest thing, because that's not what it's about. You know, Jesus is saying, forget it, humble yourself, stop trying to be the greatest, and stop competing against each other to be the greatest, because that is not what the kingdom of heaven is about. And humble yourself. You know, I think this is a good reminder for us, for me, because I can really get into that mindset of competing, you know? Not like consciously thinking like, oh, he's my competition or whatever, but just in my heart, you know, like, why do I do the things that I do? Is it because I want to be the greatest, you know, in God's eyes, or I want to be the greatest in Pastor Sam's eyes, or whatever, you know? Do we have this competition mentality when we live our Christian faith? I heard a great, a sermon by Mike Bickle of IHOP, right? And he was saying, don't even compete against yourself, you know? Don't even look at yesterday and look at today and think, oh, you know, I think I'm doing better today than I was yesterday. Because as soon as you start doing that, pride sets in. So if you're doing well, pride will set in and you'll be like, yeah, I'm doing much better. And then if you're not doing as well as yesterday, then you're like, oh, I'm so bad, you know. And then you just get down on yourself. And then if you pick yourself back up, you get prideful again. So he says, don't even do that. Don't compare yourself to others, but don't even compare yourself to yesterday or the day before. Just in every day, at every moment of your life, determine to obey God fully. Right? Don't compare. Don't look and say, yeah, you know, compared to whatever, I'm doing better. Don't do that, because pride so easily sets in. And he says, every day, whatever moment of your day you're in, just determine to obey God fully, and you really will get to live for God. So I thought it would be a good reminder for us to remember, hey, it's not about racing against each other. It's not about competing against each other. And then one quick note about humility. Jesus says, humble yourself, right? Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility, we've talked about this many times, is not saying, oh, I suck. You know, oh, I'm so bad at this. Oh, I can't do this. And somebody gives you a compliment, you say, oh, no, you know, I'm not like that, blah, blah, blah. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, right? Not thinking that you're so small, you're so whatever. Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less, right? You're not always thinking about, well, how am I doing? You're not always thinking about, well, how do I do compared to this guy? Or how do I compare to this person? Always thinking about yourself. No, because humility is thinking about yourself less so that you kind of get out of that mindset. And then another thing that I was just learning about humility, you know, what would glorify God more? Is God, who is our king, does he get glorified if he has a bunch of servants that are super weak, unable to do anything, and just constantly beating themselves up and saying, oh, I'm poor, blah, blah, blah? Or does the king get glorified if he has a bunch of servants who are highly capable and can stand, you know, and really carry on the work of God and be successful in what they're doing? Obviously, the king is glorified if his servants are doing well at what they're supposed to be doing. So humility is not sitting here and thinking, oh, I'm so bad and, you know, blah, blah, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. That doesn't glorify the king. The king is glorified when his servants rise up and do the things that they're called to be doing, but we give him the credit, you know? We remember who this is has come from. Humility, I think, happens when you're alone with the Lord. It doesn't happen in public. You say, oh, I'm a bad person. You know, you don't see Moses in Exodus saying to his people, I suck as a leader, you know, I'm a nobody, don't listen to me, but let me lead you. Moses, when he's leading in front of people, he's doing it, right? He's not like beating himself up in front of the people. But, you know, the Bible says he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. I think when he was alone in the presence of God, he gave God all the glory. You know, so you do something really well, people give you praise, you just say thank you. When you go to your own closet time with God, you say, God, this all came from you, and I give you all the glory, and I thank you for doing this and giving me the strength. I think humility really happens when you're alone with the Lord, not when you're in front of people. You know, you can't try to be humble in front of people. But humility comes when you're alone with the Lord, and you give him all the glory. So let's remember to be humble, to humble ourselves before the Lord today, and also to get out of this race business, this whole competition thing. And Jesus is going to come lead us in a time of worship. Let's just close our eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us this morning. Because of your mercy.
Here I am at your feet, in my brokenness complete. Here I am at your feet, in my brokenness complete. Here I am. Here I am at your feet.
Spend a bit of time just in prayer before God. Let's humble ourselves. Really, the song just reminds us that we are unworthy, but God, by His grace, has made us worthy to come into His presence. So let's pray for ourselves, that we would be able to really humble ourselves, and also that we would get out of this mentality, you know, performance-driven mentality and competitive mentality. But instead, you know, we just live for Him, you know. Every day we say, I decide to obey Him fully. You know, and let's pray for our church too, that we would be able to walk in this kind of humility and complete devotion to Him. So let's pray together. Let's pray for the pastoral staff, for the leaders. Let's pray especially for P-Sam Song and Lisa. Lisa is still recovering. She's supposed to be released today from the hospital. And it's, you know, they have 3 children now. Let's pray that God would really bless them and continue to lead them. And just for the peace, you know, and strength for them. And you know, Jane is there right now helping them out, and they actually are blessed to have 2 helpers for the next few weeks. So let's just pray, you know, thank the Lord and pray that God will really be with them. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and Annie. She's also pregnant. She's due in February next year, so if you can pray for her as well, and the 2 children. And then Pastor Salamat, you know, our Indonesian ministry pastor, and Mimi, his wife, and Samuel and Cardia, their 2 children. Pray for the family. Pray for Kenny and myself and Mon, who's here on a short term, and then Sophia as well. So let's just pray for the staff, that God would really be with us and lead us. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today. It's Seymour and Star Street and Lan Kwai Fong House Church. Three house churches meeting tonight. Let's just pray for God's presence to really be manifest in the house churches, and pray for the leaders, and pray for tonight. It'll be a good time of ministry. So let's pray for our house churches. Let's pray for China, our mission focus. Let's pray for some of the missionaries that we're supporting there. Jane is visiting us right now in Hong Kong. But also pray for John, her husband, and their family. That God would really bless them and protect them. My parents also in Qingdao, if you can remember them. They actually have to move apartments, so it's quite a lot of work. So if you can cover them in prayer, please. And then... let's pray for our Beijing House Church. Beijing House Church meeting here, but the church that we're kind of planning to start, you know, let's pray that God's hand will be upon that, that He will really lead us, and that we'll be able to just align ourselves to what God wants to do in Beijing. And let's just pray for China as a whole. Let's just pray that God will continue to move in that nation. So let's pray for China. And lastly, let's pray for our building search and the move and fundraising, and for especially for this Sunday, the SP auction that's coming up. Let's pray that it will be a successful event, that a lot of people will come, that it will really bring the church together, and we'll also be able to raise a lot of money. So let's just pray for this Sunday and also just for the whole move in general. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence, God. We just want to really connect with you and really be intimate with you. So Holy Spirit, come and lead us deeper into your presence, God, as we pray here, God, or as we go to our workplaces, and that you will be near to us, God. We'll be able to think of you and remember you. And help us to just humble ourselves, God, always before you. And to not compare or compete, and be with us the rest of the day. I just bless, you know, everybody here. God, with your presence, that you will go before them and go with them. Your peace will be with them. Your favor will be with them, God. Give them strength and courage as they go about their day. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.